and Luck back to pass on first down. Steps up, fires, caught. Hilton's got it at the 39-yard line. The ball came out, and the Browns have it right now. They've scooped it up. Let's see if it's a fumble as Heron was down at the 39-yard line. Knocked out by Joe Hayden, and then Paul Kruger comes out with the ball, and they give the ball to the Browns.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Lockdown Joe generating a turnover for the fourth straight week, stripping T.Y. Hilton. Unfortunately, the Browns cannot convert that into any points. Similar to last week, turnover right to be in the third quarter in opponent's territory, and it ends up in a punt for the Browns. Now, the good news was that punt was a beauty by Spencer Lanning down to the one, down by Marlon Moore, and ultimately led to the pick six by Justin Gilbert in a 21-7 lead for the Cleveland Browns. Told you we were going to go inside the locker room, give you a taste of what was said after the game. We'll start with the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, asked if this team is done following the loss to the Colts.
No, I mean, but it's an opportunity. It's a kick in the gut. It's an opportunity that we let go. We know our margin for error is now zero. That we got to win our last three, or we're done.
They're not done. They need a lot of help, and they need to take care of their business. They need to win three in a row. That could come with a change at quarterback. And Mike Pettine was asked, are you considering such a move?
I haven't even thought about it. So something we'll get together and discuss at some point. But too fresh after this one to think forward.
Coach Pettine there talking about it's too fresh, and then also too.
Curious to see if that has changed by today.
I would think so, and I think a lot of that has to do again with who gives him the best opportunity. Because as we'll hear from Coach Pettine here, is that defense's effort in that loss was squandered. Are we going to be able to duplicate that again?
Defensively, you know, for the most part, our guys played at a high level against an offense that had led the league in points and yards. It was frustrating. Just too many wasted opportunities. Miss a field goal, miss points when we're in the red zone. You can't do that against a good team, especially in an atmosphere we felt like was a playoff game. Too many mistakes.
I know that he said it's too fresh, and we talked about that whether this decision will come today or maybe on Wednesday. But if you are making a switch to Johnny Manziel and it is his first start, does it, even though your backup's always going to prepare like a starter, et cetera, does it help to let him know on Monday so that he can come in on his day off and get all the attention and love of the coaches to make sure he's as prepared as possible?
The reason I say yes is because every game matters. It's not like we're out of it. You know, we've got a lot of work to do, but we're not out of it right now. So he had better start preparing. If I would rather him make the decision today and Johnny start studying today, because Johnny's got the weight of the city, the weight of the organization on him right now. And everybody's going to expect him to prepare. And I guess the only word of caution I would have for Johnny right now is, listen, college, you're phenomenal. You're one of the best to ever do it at the collegiate level. But pro football is completely different beast than what you find at the college level.
And I feel it has to be done because it's more so than just Johnny. Because if Johnny, even if it were to wait till Wednesday, you would hope that Johnny has enough know-how to be prepared as if he is the guy, so that when he is, he's not behind. That being said, I think it needs to happen now for the locker room, right, for the teammates, for the other offensive players to know now, so that they too can prepare to play not only, again, physically, but what's going to happen on Sunday, but emotionally and mentally for that change. And some people might go, well, what, it's just another guy out on the field. Well, everything changes. Again, his cadence, you know, how he calls a play in the huddle, how he delivers the football. Is it high and away or is it low and outside? You know, those types of things. That's all going to change. And the sooner you can adapt to that, you make that mind switch and flip that switch in your head, you are all in on Johnny Manziel once it happens. You don't want that to happen on Wednesday when you're coming in to do a bulk of your work.
I know that Coach has his conference here in a few hours, but the other thing, too, that I'd almost like to see it, if that decision is known already, I'd like to see it be done now for one reason. It gives the players the opportunity to answer questions today and possibly tomorrow if they're in the facility, although Tuesday is the off day. Now it gives them 48 hours to digest,
get
to talk about.
So that Wednesday's
business.
So
when Wednesday, when you come into work, we're going straight at the Bengals.
I like that. That's a good point there. Joe Hayden called this the worst loss of the season after yesterday's game.
This one sucks. This one's the worst loss that we had this year for sure. This one hurt the team. I could tell really bad. And you know, but we got Cincinnati coming in here, another division opponent, and it's in our house, so we just got to get ready for it. We're gonna come in tomorrow, study the stuff, and just figure out what we can do better. And you know what I'm saying, just try to move forward from this one and beat Cincinnati.
Got to move on to Cincinnati. Dante Whitner echoing those sentiments, saying it was a frustrating game.
It's very frustrating, but at the end of the day, we're a team. Special teams, offense, and defense. You know, so it doesn't go on one side of the ball. But we have to get better. You know, we have to do the small things and the little things that's going to help us win these football games. Playoff teams win these games. You know, that's the bottom line. Playoff teams win these games. And we prepared. You know, we worked our butt off all week. We wanted to come out here and prove a point. We fell one point short.
And he makes a great point. Playoff teams win that football game. You know, even though they were an underdog, they played, again, the number one offense in the National Football League. They did their part to win this football game. And it's just a matter of time where, you know, Joe talks about distension. That will only grow if that is not fixed. And the only fix that you can say, you're not going to fire the offensive coordinator. You're not going to go out and sign anybody off the streets. It has to be a change from within. And there's an arrow pointing at one change that a lot of people have wanted for a very long time now.
You know, if you look at this whole thing, too, Matt, you've been on teams. I know this, just like I have. There's certain teams or certain games, I'm sorry, where the defense, for whatever reason, will carry a team that particular day. And there's going to be days where the opponent's offense has a defense's name. You're going to need your offense to step up. What we needed yesterday was we needed that third factor to step up because, again, other than the missed field goal, I thought our special teams did a really, really nice
yes,
job. They did one hell of a job. And defensively, we did a good job. We just have to help them out. So when you're not scoring field goals and you're not scoring touchdowns, I mean, that's not doing anything to help the cause. But we've all been in games where you need your defense to step up for you because for whatever reason, you just don't have it that particular day. But when you're not scoring points and you're not kicking the field goals, you know, that's where this change is coming in. And if you just listen to the tone of the voice in all these guys, that is dejection.
I mean,
we've all
devastation.
Been there, man. It's really hard. So I just think he does, like Jim Donovan said a little bit earlier, man, we've got to get these guys. We've got to get some life back in them.
That's right. According to Pat McManaman of ESPN, Brian Hoyer said there's been no update on any quarterback change. He has been told nothing as of 2 minutes ago. And Brian Hoyer did talk to the media after the game. He was asked, how do you think you played against the Colts?
I mean, I'm going to have to see the film. You know, there were some throws I felt really good about. There were some other ones where not so good. You know, it was kind of inconsistent. And that's, you know, something that I got to be able to fix, be more consistent. You know, so it's something I'll have to definitely watch on the film.
I hate that comment, and I think a lot of the reason so many people have, again, other than going 4-12 last football season, but Rob Chudzinski, head football coach of the Browns last year.
All he said was we got to watch the
film. All we got to do is watch the film. And again,
as a player,
Joe, you know this, if you played average or you played a good game or you know what, down your leg, okay? You know that getting into your car to drive away from the stadium, you know that. And I just think it's a BS comment for him in the middle of this firestorm that he's in right now to make that comment.
I know that if I played a game that was really, really bad, Matt, you and I talked about it again, going down to lunch, I did not want to show up on work on Monday. There was no need for me to watch film because I knew I stunk the place up. So having
just own it, man.
Just own up. Listen, if you can go in there and say that you had to watch film in order to kind of figure out what grade you're going to give yourself, listen, Brian, I protected you. I've taken your back in the past. But the reality is, man, come on. We're all smart enough to know that wasn't good enough to win the football game.
You are no longer. He's no longer under the Jurevicius umbrella.
He is not. You are not protected anymore.
I've tried. But again, you know, we just got. You have to own up, Matt. Like you said,
do.
You don't have to.
Well,
you have no touchdowns. There's just so many things that are going on right now. The defense is ejected. You need to drive the field. We can't drive the field. We got to put points on the board. What do you need to watch?
And the other thing about it, too, is, you know, Tom Brady, when he is bad or he feels he wears it on his sleeve, he was so upset with himself after that interception, and he takes full blame for that. And yeah, it just come out. I think people would respect if you come out and say, listen, I was not good today. I was not good enough for us to win. I think people would respect
Nathan, that. This goes back to what you said earlier about, you know, he's trying to protect himself and make himself look a little bit better. And I guess that's probably human nature to be able to do some of those things. But there's just a reality that's out there right now, and the reality is just not very good.
The reality is zero passing touchdowns and seven interceptions in the last three games alone for Brian Hoyer, barely completing 50% of his passes during that span. And yes, it has been ugly and continues to get ugly. He was asked if he is going to be the starting quarterback, though, next Sunday against the Bengals.
I mean, I expect to start and play Cincinnati here at home, and I'll prepare that way.
No surprise.
I mean, he's saying what he's supposed to say.
Right. Can't say anything different than that.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to say, no, they should put Johnny Manziel in. You shouldn't expect him to say that. But, I mean, it's almost to the point now for the change needs to be made just so we all have something different to talk about, because it's just becoming really, really stagnant. You know, you can only put the spin on it so many times before, you know, Matt, like we've talked about, and Nathan earlier, I mean, you got to start questioning yourself. I mean, we all know what we're seeing out there on the field. And then if we're all real with ourselves, then we know that, you know, we need some change. Right.
And this decision is, you know, we don't need, if you win football games, we have plenty to talk about when you win a football game. But when you lose, there's an awful lot to talk about as well. And that's when, of course, what do people do when they do something wrong? They place blame. You start looking and figuring out, how did this happen and how do we not have it happen again? And I think enough is enough at this point right now that we know who Brian is. We know who he is, okay? And at this point right now, he is hurting us more than he's helping us. And at this point, more so now than ever before in a football season, I would bet and put money on a question mark that is dynamic than what Brian Hoyer's put on the football field.
Do you guys, as players, think at this point, because you've talked about the locker room, et cetera, do players get involved in things like this? Would you have to be a supreme veteran to want to walk over and say, hey, we need it. We're doing everything we can. We need to make a change. We got to try something different at this point.
Yeah, I've been on teams where there's been a lot of vocal leaders that are, you know, that are wily veterans, where they pipe up. But I got one more thing I'm just sitting here thinking about. Do you think that Cundiff had to watch film on Monday to know if he had a good game or not? So,
no.
I mean, and that's – it's just, you know. But going back to your point, Nathan, I've been on teams where the veterans have to speak up, and these guys know. I just think that if the coaching staff's watching the late-night news and watching their player interviews, the writing's on the wall.
And for me, the locker rooms that I've been a part of, we would never take our comments or how we felt about somebody on the team directly to the head coach, but we take it to the person, our position coach, who we have a great relationship to, that you can say what you truly feel, and then what he does with it moving forward. You know, he can take it to a coordinator, or he would take it to a head coach. But I know where I played that I feel comfortable enough to go, hey, head coach, I want to tell you how to do your job. This is what I feel we should do.
It's going to get to the point, guys. And I was here. I remember two meetings vividly here in Cleveland where people were called out in a players only meeting. You know, they were just, you listen, if you're going to put stuff out there, then we're going to question you face to face. And I'm talking to the point where it's not good. And sometimes something like that could be good for the team, because if you've got it on your chest, get it off. But again, you don't give it to the media. You do it in-house. But there's, I just think there's so much pent up emotion right now that, again, it's almost like you need a yoga session just to kind of
relax. Get it out of you. All right. Well, Mike Penn will address the media around 4:00 today. You can get that at clevelandbrowns.com or on the Browns mobile app. When we come back, final segment here on the show, we will take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Matt, Joe, and I will hand out game balls. I don't know if Matt will, but I think there were some game balls to be handed out.
No soup for you.
No soup for you. There were some game balls to be handed. I'll hand them out. I'm a cheery guy.
I'll get one.
Yeah, Joe will as well. So 2 out of 3 ain't bad. All right, we'll be back with more here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.